Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
The danger, the tempest forever is o'er. My anchor is holding, I'm safe evermore. What gladness, what rapture is mine. The waters are peaceful, the danger is past. My spirit is happy,
coming of the Lord Jesus Christ coming closer and closer. I want to teach on the subjects of the end time because I believe there are not many churches today that do teach on this subject. We need to keep updated with what's happening in the news as far as Israel is concerned, and we need to keep our ears and our eyes open. For the Lord God said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. This is a warning from God. He proclaimed, look up, watch. I don't want to catch you unaware when I do come. He seems to be telling his children, I want you to be ready when I do come. So he is warning us over and over to keep a sharp lookout on the things that are happening in the world. Because in the Word of God, it is described how things will take place in the end times. And we definitely are seeing those things in existence already. They're not starting to come to pass. They are now here. The earthquakes, the pestilences. We can see how technology has increased. Daniel the prophet has prophesied that knowledge shall increase. It is unbelievable what we, the human race, are now seeing coming to pass. What we are seeing today, people could never dreamed of 100 years ago. But the question that crosses my mind a lot is this: will all the Christians go up in the rapture when the rapture takes place? We know that before the great tribulation, the Lord will take his bride unto himself. But will every Christian who is born again, who has accepted Jesus, will they all go up in the rapture? I have studied scriptures extensively on that. And I would love to believe that every born-again believer would go up in the rapture. But when we study scriptures, this does not seem to be the case. The Lord is warning his children to look up, to wait and watch for him, not to be caught unaware. And today I'll teach on this subject. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will open people's hearts today. Help us to understand scripture and help us to take this serious. You warn us to live righteous and holy lives. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you will anoint this message. You will bless the people in Jesus' name. Amen. In Revelations chapter 3, verse 10, there is an interesting scripture that tells us, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So there is an incredible promise here. If we will live for the Lord, if we will keep the Lord's word, then he will keep us from the hour of tribulation or temptation that shall come to try them that dwell upon the earth. We know for a fact there is a 7-year period of incredible tribulation waiting for this planet. So the question we're asking is, will all the Christians, all those who are born again, all those who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, will they go up in the rapture? Well, I would love to believe that everyone will go up in the rapture, everyone who is born again. But when we study scripture, this does not seem to be the case. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, unto them that look for him, to them will he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So is there a condition placed upon the believer for escaping the tribulation? You know, when we study these things, it is sometimes a little bit confusing. Because salvation, there are no conditions. You repent of your sin, you see your need for a Savior, and you turn to him for salvation. That's the condition. But when we study scripture, there are conditions for receiving the blessings of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, there are cursings and blessings pronounced upon the children of Israel. They will not cease to be Israelites, but if they do not live right, they will receive curses. If they do live right, they will receive blessings. So that does that apply to the Christian also? Well, we will study scripture a little bit and find out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there's an interesting scripture talking about taking the Lord's Supper, taking communion. It tells us in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So he is talking about taking communion unworthily. When we take the Lord's communion unworthily, what is it talking about? He's talking to the believers here. Thus, the Bible teaches us that as believers, we can unworthily take communion. Yes, it does. If we are not worthy, if we do not check ourselves out, if we live for the devil, or if we have something against a brother or a sister, then we are unworthily taking the Lord's communion. And if we do that, it says here, for this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. In other words, this is the reason why so many of you are sick. And this is why so many of you have prematurely died. You did not discern the Lord. You did not discern yourself before you took that cup. I personally believe you don't even have to take communion. It's your everyday life that is important. Check yourself out. If you do not live a godly life, you're bringing damnation to yourself. You're bringing judgment to yourself. It says in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So what he is telling us here, if we judge ourselves and we start to live righteously, then we will receive the blessings. But if God has to judge us, then the reason he does that is so that we will not be condemned with the world. We all understand that God chastens these he loves. And if he does not chasten you, that means you are not his son. You belong to the devil. So why should he chasten you? The Bible teaches us in Psalm chapter 89, verse 30, if my children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take away from him. So he will chasten those he loves, but he will not take his kindness away. He still loves you and will still keep you. So the question we are now asking, if God chastens us in this life, before the tribulation, before the rapture, when we don't live right, let's say at the time of the rapture, what will happen if he comes and finds somebody who is not living a righteous life? Will he go then through the tribulation? I want to read you some very interesting scriptures here. It tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 48, if an evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of it, and he shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When I studied this, it's talking about a fellow servant. And that fellow servant is starting to smite his brethren. And he's starting to live for the devil. Then all at once his Lord comes. And it says here that he will be appointed a portion with the hypocrites. That is very, very interesting. So we have to look at these things and take them into account. What is God trying to tell us? In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, there is an interesting scripture that has always had my attention. And this is why I bring a message like this out in the open, so that people can check themselves, and just in case there is a danger of missing the rapture because of misconduct, we can protect ourselves. So this scripture says here in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that they come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all these that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. He's talking to his believers here. He says, don't let me catch you carousing and being weighted down with the things of this world. But watch, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. God is warning us. It is not me that wrote these scriptures. I am bringing them out so that you can study them for yourself. Make sure that you're ready when the trumpet will sound. To me, for myself, that has never been much of an issue because I try to live for the Lord. I'm not saying I don't make any mistakes, but I want to say this. If you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it may be that you will miss his call when he calls at the trumpet sound. It's the relationship with Christ that makes you acceptable by God. It says, those that look for me, him, to them will he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Because it says, you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of the tribulation that shall come to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's the thing I'm trying to bring across. Have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to miss the rapture. I would personally want to believe that everyone who is a Christian will go up in the rapture. But when we study these scriptures, it seems to say there's going to be consequences for living in sin. So turn to him today. Look upon yourself. Check out your heart. Make sure your heart is right with God and your heart is right with your fellow believers. If you come against a fellow believer, if you're in a religious system and you come against a fellow believer, you do not want to associate with him. Watch out. You are coming against the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian and you're carousing and living for the devil, you're into drugs and alcohol and cigarettes, watch out. The Lord may give you a portion with the hypocrites. So turn to the Lord today. The Lord is about to come back for his bride. The handwriting is on the wall. We are fast running out of time. Give him your life and your heart. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing.
I have the world to offer you.
Yes, you have the world to hold till the day when God declares time on earth shall be no more.
Fire and brimstone shall rain down and melt it like the snow. What will you have to offer then to a dying soul?
Think of all you're giving up.
I'm giving up the chance to die. Spend eternity in hell, burning in a lake of fire.
I thank God he's made a way that I might escape. By the living grace of God, I shall see his face.
But you don't sin, you're good enough.
There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All we like sheep have gone astray.
We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
But what about the friends you lose?
There may be some that don't agree. They may say that I'm a fool, but they don't have to stand for me.
Jesus said he'd be my friend and he'd walk with me, and he'd never leave my side throughout eternity.
But life will be too dull for you.
Everything you've offered me don't mean nothing to my heart, for from sin I've been set free.
Praise the Lord, I'm going home ever to rejoice. Take this world and get behind. I have found peace of mind. Everlasting joy is mine. Jesus is my choice.
When one studies about the terrible things that will happen during the tribulation period, the terrible suffering, the diseases, the pestilences, the demonic activity, it is almost unimaginable what horrors will take place during that hour of the tribulation. We can see the world being destroyed. We read of terrible heat. We read of food totally being depleted. People will be starving to death. The sun will become so hot that all the grass and all the trees will simply dry up. There's not going to be any rain for the last 3.5 years. It is almost unbelievable when we think of what will happen to this planet. But according to scriptures, these things will all come to pass. But I have to say, as horrifying as all these things are, the lake of fire and hell is far worse. This tribulation period is going to be a kindergarten picnic compared to what the lake of fire is. The Bible teaches us that once a person gets into that place called the lake of fire, there is no escape. There is not going to be any escape from the torments that are there. In Luke chapter 16, verse 23, it talks about the rich man that went to hell. It tells us, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off. So it tells us that in hell people will be aware of things. This rich man saw Abraham. It says he cried out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place." So there was a need for cooling. There was a need for water. And Abraham tells him, "No, you don't get nothing. In hell, you are separated from God." We have to remember that in God, life exists. The Bible teaches us, without him, nothing could exist. So whether there's air, water, beautiful flowers, sunshine, whatever you can think of that is good, or even that is bad, like a winter storm, these things will not be in hell. In hell, it's going to be flaming fire that will consume for eternity the sin of a human being. Yes, there's only two things that can contain the sin of a human being. One is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second is hellfire, and that will take eternity. So I want to say this. Regardless how bad a person is, the Lord reaches out his hand in mercy. You can receive the gift of pardon today by turning to him for salvation, and you will escape this eternal lake of fire, where the Bible teaches us the smoke of their torment shall arise forever and ever. We do not hear any preaching on the lake of fire in the churches today. When I watch certain programs, most programs on TV, never do you hear a message on the lake of fire and hell. It seems like that the church has totally closed its eyes to that subject. Whether we like it or not, it is waiting for those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, the church, have been given the commission to preach about that awful, terrible place. Because in most cases, human beings do not turn to God because of God's goodness, that he will give you heaven. But we know for a fact human nature is brought up short. They take note, they take interest when hell is preached, because a human being is fearful of being cast into the lake of fire, where he will suffer and be separated from God for eternity. This is one thing that gets a person's attention. So this is why I say we need to speak on that subject. We need to proclaim it. If people are not drawn to God by the love of God, then at least let them hear about the judgment of God so that they will flee the wrath that is to come. So turn to Jesus today. Flee that awful place. Run to Jesus with open, he will receive you with open arms, for he knows what terrible place the lake of fire is, and he has done everything he can to save you from that awful, awful place. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.